A lot of times we visit with Eric Zorn, the retired Tribune columnist at this time, and today's no exception. Hey, Eric Zorn, how are you?
I'm good, John. You know, I'm not all that retired. I'm still working pretty hard on my newsletter, but it makes it sound like you're reaching me in my chaise lounge in the backyard, with a drink in my hand.
He's in a Barca lounger with an old-style light in his hand, but you're right. He's also the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel. I get the feeling sometimes you're actually churning out more stuff than you used to. I don't know if that's true, but you have so much more space available on your Substack. I mean, there's no editor saying, hey, we got to cut it off at 800 words.
Yeah, somebody has to notice that. There's no editor. You're right. No, I
meant that in a nice way, Eric. I don't want you to think that was a criticism.
No, I do. I think I do turn out more words because, you know, I delve into all kinds of things. Like I do sports. This morning's thing, I had a little thing on sports that I usually didn't do in my column for the Tribune, or I focus mostly on politics and news and so on. So,
well, you know what you also do is, if I may, so the Picayune Sentinel is your weekly newsletter. It's free, and you can just email Eric Zorn at gmail.com. You can subscribe for the premium edition, and there's great value in that, I'll add. But you're able to, so someone will write a response to you, and then you can give them a whole paragraph back. And then somebody else writes a paragraph to you, and you have a whole paragraph or four back. So there's a real sort of exchange of ideas going on. And, you know, there's just so much ink in a newspaper, you couldn't do that in the olden days.
Well, it was also considered to be a lazy thing for a columnist to do, to fill a column space with letters from readers. But I mean, I always enjoyed the interaction with readers. It was one of the things that I really, really liked when I was writing for the Tribune, was the back and forth with readers. And you can't really do that in the paper too much. The boss would think you're lazy. But I find it to be really interesting to hear what other people have to say and to test my ideas against theirs. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the beauty of the online format, is being able to trade views with people and do it in a civil and pretty respectful way. So I'm really enjoying that part of it.
I'll ask you in a minute why you even decided to write about the most beloved Chicagoan. I've got my answer. It's different than yours. But before we get to that, the latest mayor's poll shows Vallis and Brandon about even. One this morning I saw shows them 5% or even 6% apart. But in this Emerson College poll, although you are undecided, which candidate are you leaning towards at this time? Brandon Johnson, 50.8. Paul Vallis, 49.2. I guess that's the same poll that shows Vallis leading by 5, but push to shove, it does show them still very, very close, doesn't it?
Yeah, all these polls that I've seen, and these are independent polls, they're not polls from the campaigns themselves, show this to be a pretty tight race. Just about every poll I've seen shows Vallis at least narrowly in the lead. This Emerson College poll has Vallis up 46% to 41%.
Right.
The Victory Research has been polling this race every couple of weeks, and they show it 46.3 to 44.2. That's, you know, 2.1%, and that's well within the margin of error, which is 3.45%. I don't think this isn't too many numbers here. But essentially what it's saying is this is a very, very close mayor's race in Chicago. And what I noticed in looking at the crosstabs in this poll is that Vallis' support tends to be among older voters, that he's up by about 8 points in voters over age 60. And Johnson's is up by nearly 11 points with voters who are 18 to 30. And that is why they're so close. My observation over years of covering politics and races is that people who count on the youth vote to come out tend to be disappointed that the youth vote just never materializes the way it's supposed to. And a lot of candidates, Bernie Sanders being one of them, have had their hopes dashed on the rocks of counting on the youth vote. So I would say, just looking at these numbers, that right now Vallis has got to be the favorite, because I think that his voters, the over 60 crowd, you know those folks.
Well, sure I do. Sure I do. They're good folks and they vote. In fact, they voted in greater number demographically. You know, if you break it down by 10, 15 years in the primary round, if you will, they were the ones that pushed these two candidates forward. So you would have to think that, yeah, this gives the advantage to Vallis, wouldn't you? Sounds like Eric just clicked out. I also wanted to mention here a piece that I'm reading from in the New York Times. Chicago's mayoral race pits the teachers' union against the police union. And the reporters in the Times today wrote, "There's nothing quite like Chicago's relationship with the Fraternal Order of Police, especially with its president, John Catanzara, who expressed sympathies for the rioters who stormed the Capitol January 6th, called Muslim savages, who all deserve... Yeah, hold on one second, Eric. I just want to catch you up on this. Who all deserve a bullet, and retired from the police force in 2021 rather than face potential disciplinary actions. He punctuated his retirement papers." This is John Catanzara with a handwritten note, "Finally, let's go, Brandon." This is kind of random. Anyway, one last note from the Times. "Mr. Catanzara is not lying low. He predicted that 800 to 1,000 Chicago police officers would leave the force if Brandon Johnson wins, adding to hundreds of vacancies already awaiting the next mayor. If this guy gets in, we're going to see an exodus like we've never seen before," he said, predicting blood in the streets. That's John Catanzara. Eric, you're back on. I was just kind of noticing what the New York Times is reporting about the race and the connection between Vallis, Catanzara, and the police union.
Well, it's interesting because I think that the predictions that Catanzara is making of mass retirements are overblown, just like I think Vallis has claimed that there are going to be hundreds to thousands of Chicago police officers who are retired who are going to come running back and joining the force again if he's elected are overblown. This race has been marked by a lot of exaggerations in that area. I think one thing that's been interesting in development just in the last couple of days is that there are signs going up around the south and southwest sides of the city saying, you know, "Vallis for mayor, make America great again." That this is apparently an attempt by the teachers union to put up signs that link Vallis to Trump.
Oh, wow.
In areas that would be a very, I mean, it's a great campaign dirty trick, or a great is maybe the wrong.
How very J.B. Pritzker of them.
I think it's unfair to say that Vallis is Trumpian. I think that he is maybe a right of center on a number of issues, but I don't think to say that he is not a Trump Republican by any means. And so to link him to that is really unfair. I think it's unfair at this point to say that Brandon Johnson is in favor of defunding the police, which is what some of the mailings say from the Vallis campaign. That right now this campaign has really gotten fairly low, and I'm really glad it's going to be over in a week. But I think that this business of trying to link Vallis to Trump is a bit much. So,
well, that's exactly what J.B. Pritzker did to Darren Bailey in the last election, putting up.
That wasn't unfair. Bailey shared a stage with Trump. Bailey was a Trumper. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but the link there was a lot stronger than it is with
But what I'm talking about is the fact that J.B. Pritzker put personal funds in to make sure that Bailey beat Irvin, the mayor of Aurora. So there is J.B. Pritzker putting out ads, you know what I'm talking about,
yes,
saying that Bailey may be too conservative for us. He's for gun rights, et cetera, knowing full well that would gin up support for Bailey. He wanted Bailey in the general election. I think that's deplorable, dirty politics. It is the worst example of why we should have some sort of personal campaign finance limits, because JB was able to afford that and it helped him win.
Right. And of course, that technique worked around the country, too. It worked in southwest Michigan, where they got rid of Peter Meyer, the Republican who had voted to impeach Trump. And so when Pritzker did that, he wanted to run against Bailey because he thought he could beat Bailey like a drum in the general election. And he did. He was right about that. He was able to beat Bailey. He was afraid at the time of Richard Irvin, the mayor of Aurora, who looked to be a much more moderate Republican who might appeal to the sort of swing voters. So that was the technique. The technique here is I think, just a little different. It's to take voters who are on the fence. And I've talked to a lot of voters who are on the fence on this particular mayor's race. They don't really go for either of these candidates. And to say that, look, you know, Paul Vallis is a Trump Republican, and that's what this is about. It's not about ginning up his voters to come out to the polls.
True.
It's about getting Democrats to come home to Brandon Johnson.
Yeah, and you know, I heard Stacey Davis Gates, the CTU spokesperson, talk last week on the radio. Maybe it might have been this weekend when I was driving down to Carbondale, but she was championing Brandon Johnson. Remember, the CTU's given $2 million to his campaign. In fact, if you look at the campaign finance ledger, the one for Paul Vallis is pages and pages long. Some people give thousands and thousands, and some people give tens and twenties. And Brandon Johnson's is like one page, and it just says, CTU, $1 million. CTU, $1 million. Have a nice day. So he's very, very tied to them. Anyway, when she is speaking on his behalf and leveling charges of racism or incompetence on Paul Vallis, I just roll my eyes and think, oh, gosh, I don't want to hear this. I wish the conversation would be a little more elevated than that kind of garbage. And I'm hearing it on both sides. Both sides.
Yeah. Well, I thought a very interesting development this morning, this is still on the same topic, was that Alderman Sophia King, who, of course, ran she was part of the nine who ran, and she's the chair of the City Council's Progressive Caucus. And she endorsed Paul Vallis this morning, she's going to endorse him. And I thought that was a very interesting development because, Jamal Green, who was considered to be the most progressive of the mayoral nine who were running in the first round, he also endorsed Vallis. And I think this is adding to the sense that if you are liberal and progressive, you have permission from some of these public figures. The Bobby Rush, the former Black Panther, endorsed Vallis, that you're getting these permission slips for progressive voters to vote for Vallis, which is why I do think in the end, Vallis is probably going to hang on to this narrow lead that we're seeing in the polls.
That's Eric Zorn, the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel, the most beloved Chicagoan. You and I have different names that pop. You notice that the Sun Times is asking who's the most beloved Chicagoan of all time, right, Eric?
Right. I saw them tweet this out the other day. They want to know who people think the most beloved Chicagoan of all time is. And I was struck by the word beloved. I mean, there's like, who's the most admired Chicagoan? It's being beloved is a little bit more than being admired, right? That someone like Michael Jordan is really admired, or even Mike Ditka, but people don't really love Michael Jordan, right? And even if he counts as a Chicagoan, which I'm not sure that he does.
Bite your tongue.
What, he lived in Highland Park. He worked in the city about 50 days a year, and now he's gone.
He worked for a certain period of time at a certain address just west of the Loop. You may have heard about it before. It's called the United Center.
I love Michael Jordan. I think he did an incredible thing for the city.
You don't. All right, so it's not Michael Jordan. It's not Mike Ditka. When you say, quick, John, you stopped me on the street and said, who's the most beloved Chicagoan of all time? I go, Ron Santo. Hello. What? Don't even. Why are we talking about this? Then I saw the list of people in your newsletter, and I thought, oh, yeah, what about Sister Jean and Tom Skilling and Harry Carey and Barack Obama, for crying out loud?
Or Walt Disney, Roger Ebert. A name that came up a lot online in my comment section is Ernie Banks. But I have to say, I really like the Ron Santo nomination. Ron was, he truly was beloved in this city, and he was such a great character. On the other hand, it's hard to argue against Tom Skilling, too. Tom is maybe the single friendliest person I have ever met.
He's the single friendliest person I've ever even known about. Like, do I have the pleasure, anybody that's met Tom, lucky you got to meet Tom Skilling, but who do you even know of that's nicer than Tom Skilling?
No, nobody. Tom is he's also a brilliant meteorologist too. It's like, he's not just a nice guy. He's really terrific at what he does.
Yeah.
So maybe he qualifies. My initial response was Studs Terkel, that I really thought I admired Studs quite a bit. He was a really nice man, a very interesting guy to talk to, very accomplished, the author, radio host, had influence on culture in the city. But as more people have been submitting ideas and submitting people to this list, I mean, I just started. I don't know who the Sun Times is going to come up with, but I think it's interesting that being beloved. Some people said Harry Carey. I don't know, is Harry Carey beloved? Maybe. And it's also hard for political figures. Harold Washington, certainly a lot of people really, really liked Harold Washington, really admired him. I don't know that I would have used the word beloved for him. Another one I thought of was Epi Lederer, Ann Landers. She was quite well regarded, and so there are a lot of.
Well, I mean, but yeah,
what about Oprah?
Oprah, yeah, I don't know. I guess, Michelle Obama, for that matter, and Barack Obama. Michelle is a product of the Chicago area and lived here for a while. You do claim Michelle Obama, don't you?
I think we do. Yeah, she grew up here. Barack was here for, 20 years or something like that before. And I don't think they're coming back except to visit their palatial presidential center. But I just thought it was a really intriguing question that they threw out there. And
the problem with it is, too, if I may, Eric, that say we decide it's Harold Washington. Well, then what does that say about Sister Jean or Tom Skilling? Well, it doesn't say anything. They're also super duper beloved.
Yes.
I don't want this list to be exclusionary, but I think you're also right. It maybe depends on what the definition of beloved is. Here's one definition of beloved.
Definition of the word.
Beloved.
Adjective.
Much loved, dearly loved.
Noun.
Someone who is loved, something that is loved.
Beloved. Beloved.
Okay, we know how to pronounce it.
This is going to take your job someday, John. Just look out.
I'm telling you. Probably. Well, okay, so you are going to go with Studs Terkel. I think that's a little highfalutin for me. I've met him. I interviewed him. I read his books. He's... all good, but my heart doesn't swell when I think about him. It does when I think about Barack, Tom Skilling. Roger Ebert was just such a great man. I didn't know much about Harold Washington. That sort of predated me. I loved the way Walter Payton was such a good sport. I mean, I think if there could be a beloved athlete, it could be Walter just for his tenacity and spirit and... But I think I keep coming back to Ron Santo. You're just going to stay with Studs Terkel?
The more we talk about this, the more we think about Ron Santo and Tom Skilling. I think I'm going to have to agree with you on those. Those are truly beloved figures, and I think that like I say, if you change the word to admired or respected or accomplished. Those are different terms than beloved, and that's where I was. That's why I bothered to post it. I saw the thing online, and I thought, beloved. That's such an interesting way to think about it.
Let me just throw a couple of the names at you. What about your friend and mine, Mary Schmeek? She put her heart and soul out there every day. Very talented, very good person. Our texters say Ernie Banks, Pastor Corey Brooks, Bozo, Lynn Brahmer.
Bozo.
Bozo's not beloved. Bozo's a lot of good things. I don't put Sister Jean and Bozo in the same definition, but that's why they asked. And maybe the Rascals will resolve this tomorrow when we record our podcast. Remember, you can always subscribe to Eric Zorn's Picayune Sentinel. Just email ericzorn@gmail.com. Okay, buddy, I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you, John. Thank you.